And welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Carl Banks. I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll be recapping the Giants' 20-19 victory over the Dallas Cowboys to open up the 2016 regular season opener. We'll also get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter if you can't get to the phones. A lot to delve into over the next hour, and certainly we appreciate those of you tuning in on Facebook Live as well as on Twitter. And Carl, let's start with the fact that compared to the huge narrative last season when the Giants had five games in which they held the lead with at least 2 minutes left, This was a similar circumstance yesterday, and the difference was they finished, they did it on offense, and they also did it on defense.
Yeah, I think they found a way, Lance. And when you look at it, you talk about the five games they didn't finish last year, but also they went into opening night with a five-game losing streak. They lost the last five games of the season, I believe, and so this was important for them, and this was, for if nothing else, a major step mentally for this team in knowing that they can finish a game. And I would say it was as complimentary of an effort by both sides of the ball as you're going to see, because though they didn't finish their four-minute offense, they were very effective. And they didn't need to take a chance on fourth and one. Punt it. You give them the ball with, what, a minute and 7 seconds with zero timeouts. And knowing the way that they were playing with Prescott, there wasn't a chance for them to get something big over the top. They were just risk adverse all game. And if the Giants played deep to short, limit those to sevens and 10 yards, and they had about 45 yards to go to get in field goal range. But I thought it was a great effort.
How critical do you think that play was, Carl, when DRC had outside leverage to at least try to get Terrence Williams to cut inside as opposed to maybe give him the angle straight out of play?
Well, I think it was very key. Now, keep in mind, Williams made a bad choice by even deciding to try to get more yardage. But if he'd have caught the ball and stepped out of bounds, that was nothing the Giants could have done. But as soon as he took one step and DRC flashed on the sideline, it forced him in the field to play, which is exactly how the coaches draw that defense up. They don't want the receiver to get out of bounds. The receiver doesn't want to stay in bounds. So, in essence, DRC did his job better than Williams did his. And it was key, because if DRC takes a bad angle, maybe this kid runs down the sideline, then steps out. But He forced him back into the field of play.
And then when you look big picture perspective, Carl, since the game essentially came down to Terrence Williams not running out of bounds, staying in the field, you go back to early in the game when Dallas was constantly getting in scoring position, But the difference was the Giants were 3-for-3 in the red zone in this game. Cowboys were just 1-for-3. If Dallas gets 7 instead of 3 early, perhaps this is a different game in terms of strategy late.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. The Giants did have a bend but don't break defense. They didn't do a good enough job on third down, but they did rise up when it counted. And there was not a lot of creativity from the Dallas Cowboy offense in the field of play, so they just kind of had to take what they were intending to and not try to go over the top. So when they got down into the red zone, the options were limited. You couldn't send a guy deep and hit something underneath. They had to be kind of limited to what they do, and I think the defense did a great job of holding them to just 3 points on two of the three trips down there.
And when it seemed as if Dak Prescott got in a position where it was third and manageable, he seemed to be more comfortable. But later in the game, specifically in the second half, Carl, He started to face the third and 12s, the third and 18s, and clearly he had limited options under those circumstances.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Dak Prescott is that he's a very poised quarterback and a very smart quarterback. When I say smart, is because you can tell they coached him up, and he did not make one decision that he was not coached to make all during the week. You could tell that. So when the controls of the game or the variables of the game became a bit different and they had to kind of play catch up, then you could see they just couldn't open him up, and he didn't fare well. I mean, he threw some bad balls. He faced a lot of different pressures because now the defense were sort of playing on their terms, and they're starting to bring a little more pressure on him, and you could see that He just didn't have the control of the game as he did early on.
To get him uncomfortable and so forth, get in his face, force him out of the pocket. Lance Metal, Carl Banks with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. One other thing I want to touch on in terms of the big themes, Carl, from yesterday's game before we get to your phone calls is on the offensive side of the ball for the Giants, huge narrative coming into this game. How would the offensive line transition from what we've seen in the preseason to the regular season?
Right.
And, you know, John Jerry pulling from the right to the left stood out, that drive where you're right, they didn't accomplish what they wanted in that four-minute drive.
In essence, they did, but they just didn't finish.
They didn't finish it correctly, but they milk clock and they had a number of strong runs on the interior as opposed to the edge.
Well, let's go back to preseason. What we saw was reality. We saw a lot of individual deficiencies across the offensive line. And I made this point, and I had a conversation with Coach Belichick after the Patriots game, and we got on the subject of the Giants offensive line, and he says no different than theirs. He says, but it's all relative. And I'm like, what do you mean, Coach? He says, you guys played Buffalo, Miami, the Jets, the Patriots. How often will you see defensive lines that good on your schedule? So when you face collectively, and I say collectively, the AFC collectively has the best group of defensive linemen in football. You're not going to get four games in a row like that. So you get a chance to game plan. And obviously, it's not a stretch to say that Dallas is not the Buffalo Bills front four or front seven. So they did the job. But the difference now is they can scheme according to their opponent, and they can get some things done. But when they get against good defensive fronts, they've got to show that they've improved from training camp, because that was not a placebo, if you will. Those guys, you start to see some deficiencies individually. But if those guys continue to work and then they can fit their run game schemes together, they're going to be fine. But, you know, it's just they look bad against really, really good fronts, and they face four good fronts during the preseason.
One last thing with respect to the offensive line. I thought it was interesting, Carl, that we saw Brett Jones, the backup center, as a fullback, which we had not seen at all.
I don't think anyone wants to see him at fullback on the opposing team. What
no,
he
I
did,
would agree with you.
I don't know if it was Sean Lee or somebody. He blew him out of the hole and just kept running him about 10 yards down the field.
Yeah, not wise to necessarily think that you get past one center and then now have to deal with another center,
yeah.
At least from a defensive perspective.
It was a good power running formation, and now that they've revealed that or unveiled that, it could be a problem. It's one more thing for defenses to have to deal with.
Lance Metal, Carl Banks with you here on Giants.com. We appreciate those of you watching on Facebook Live and Twitter. We invite you over to Giants.com to watch the remainder of the program. So glad you could join us here for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live as we are recapping the Giants' 20-19 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. And not only did the Giants end a five-game skid in season openers, as Carl alluded to, they also beat the Cowboys in week one for the first time all time. They were 0-7 entering this contest. So that was obviously big from a momentum standpoint. We're going to open up the phone lines at 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. You could also chime in using hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. What else jumped out to you, Carl, at least from an offensive perspective when you look at this game? It seemed they were a little slow out of the gates, but Eli Manning at one point started to gain some rhythm. He had eight consecutive completions at one point, and he was spreading the wealth. We saw drives where Beckham, Cruz, as well as Shepard all contributed.
Well, think about it. In the first half, they only had three possessions. So they were a little slow getting going, but then when they had a quick strike to Odell Beckham down the sideline, and then you can start to see it go. But one of the things that stood out to me most was the offensive line play. In particular, their pass protection was really good. Didn't see a lot of unforced errors. They had one in the second half that they shouldn't have had. But I think the thing that really impressed me was the cohesion, the organization of the offense. And I don't think they had a lot of hiccups. Few mistakes, but that happens during the course of the game. You had a miscommunication on the interception. Shepard and Eli Manning, I'm not sure. It looked like the ball was thrown on timing and Shepard hadn't come out of his route yet. But I don't know if that was a function of the pass rush getting to Eli or not. So I guess Eli will have to answer that question. But I just think the offensive operation was very smooth for the most part.
And especially the balance, I would say, on offense, Carl. When you look at the final box score, what jumped out to me, 28 pass attempts, 24 runs. You get over 100 yards on the ground. If you look back at the majority of the box scores from last season, now it was all relative in terms of how the game flowed and the game played out, but very rarely did we see this type of balance and execution.
And when you think about that and contrast it with the time of possession, you would think that when a team has that type of advantage in time of possession, that there's going to be a lot of passes.
It'd be hard to match that balance.
Right. Yeah. But somehow the Giants found a way to be efficient in the passing game so that they can maintain that type of balance.
36-43 in terms of time of possession for Dallas versus 23-17 for the Giants. But it really goes back to time of possession is great, Carl, but if you're not scoring, meaning getting it in the end zone, it almost balances out.
Right, and that's where the Giants found some level of comfort, knowing that, okay, they're killing the clock, but they're only getting threes. So they've got to score three field goals in order to really get an advantage over a touchdown. So they were saying, okay, we'll take the field. We'll stay with our plan. We need to get a touchdown. And had they scored a touchdown, field goal touchdown, it's a whole nother ball game. But the defense holding them to threes were very important in terms of how the Giants could operate their offense, because there was no sense of urgency or immediacy in terms of, we got to get out here and we got to score now. They're saying, let's be methodical. Let's stay with our plan. We'll get what we're supposed to get. And that's how they got the score, and the game stayed within 1 point.
Absolutely, and that added up to a 20-19 victory for the Giants as they win their season opener for the first time in 6 years. He is Carl Banks. I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. 201-939-4513. Want to hear from you. What you saw out of the game, what you think the Giants can build off of as they now turn their attention to the Saints, the regular season home opener this Sunday at MetLife Stadium against Drew Brees and company. We start with Kevin, who is in Orlando. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how are you? And I appreciate that Carl is here today because he could actually prove my point for me. Not to say, even before this game happened, seemed like the media wanted to anoint Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott to the Hall of Fame. Now that the Giants have actually won the game, all I see is a lot of fan reaction, but even analyst reaction on TV saying, hey, how good can the Giants be? They only won by 1 point. And there was a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. Apparently they're not Hall of Famers anymore. They're just rookies. But I think what people have to fail to realize is this is the NFL. This is not the NCAA. Good teams find a way to win games. Bad teams find a way to lose games. The 1986 Giants, one of the greatest Giant teams of all time, I'd say, and Carl can back me up on this, at least half of their wins came down to the last possession, making a defensive stop, going down the field, scoring a touchdown, getting a field goal. You just don't categorically steamroll teams that often. It happens once in a while, but that's not how the game is played. So people giving the Giants absolutely no credit for, oh, Roy Williams didn't run out of bounds, the Giants should have lost it, is absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. And to take the latter first, even if Williams gets out of bounds, that's no chip shot. Now, their kicker had kicked a really good
– a 54 and a 56-yarder.
Yeah, but this was going to be probably a 60?
61, I said.
Yeah, so that's no chip shot, even when your kicker's hot. But, yeah, when the Giants are winning and they're not giving credit, you don't worry about that if you're in the Giant organization, because 3 games from now it looks like a W. They don't say, well, they squeaked by.
Don't get brownie points.
Right. But here's the thing that Ezekiel Elliott found out, too, that the safeties in the NFL are really fast and they hit hard. So he tried to get to the edge. There was someone there. He could not run the safety to the edge. He tried to go in the middle. There was someone there. And he had a very good offensive line. So you talk about the great offensive line of Dallas Cowboys. The Giants did a pretty darn good job against the run. Now, I will say this. Their kryptonite is Alfred Morris. I mean, he knows how to run against this Giant defense, but for the most part, the Giants did a great job defending the run.
And Morris averaged 5 yards per carry. And Kevin, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. It seemed as if he provided a different style of running call. And also what I noticed, and you've seen him from all the years he played for the Redskins, he slimmed down this season. Morris physically looks like a much different back.
Well, he does. But he still has to – he has balance, really good vision and patience as a runner. But by virtue of him slimming down, has an extra burst once he sees a hole.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. Dre is in the ATL. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, what's up, Carlos? How's everything going?
Hey, what's
up,
Dre?
How's things with you?
Everything is great. I'm going to tell you, one thing I noticed that jumped out for me in this game compared to last year is the play of the linebackers and the safeties. There was, I mean, Darren Thompson is a monster. I mean, I think the combination with him, Collins, and Burhey together kept a lot of things in front, and when they put a hat on either a receiver or on the back, they did it emphatically. Thompson is a sound tackler. That hit on Witten was great, limiting some short yardage and put him in those third and long situations. So I like that, especially the play with Casillas. You know, I think we significantly upgraded our linebacker play and our safety play, and I think that was pretty much what jumped out to me. One. Two, how good is it to see Cruz out there scoring a touch, the game-winning touchdown? I mean, that is definitely a goodwill story right there.
Yeah, I think when you talk about the linebacker and safety play, they have certainly upgraded there. But I think the biggest improvement is Landon Collins. I think his jump from rookie to second year is so appreciable. And it showed up on the Dez Bryant play in the corner end zone, the way he fought to get the ball out all the way to the ground.
Right.
That's one thing. But when you look at Nat Burhey, okay, he made some impact plays. Darian Thompson made impact plays. And it's kind of stuff that you wouldn't notice, but just like I mentioned, when Ezekiel Elliott tried to bounce the ball out on one running play, there was Thompson right there to turn him back in. Those are the routine plays that you expect from really good safety play. Linebackers, and again, let's not go ahead of ourselves. They've improved. I think there's a lot of room for growth with this group, especially on third downs, with the linebackers, especially in zone coverage. And they're going to be tested. This zone coverage is going to be tested this week against Drew Brees. He's the master at manipulating linebackers in space. So they've got to really hone in on that. But I think you see an appreciable difference in talent as opposed to last year, and that's a good thing.
And in terms of versatility as well.
Right.
Depth.
Yeah, they have a lot of versatility. Yeah.
And that was my point. Because, I mean, I'm not saying that they made leaps and bounds in reference to the linebacker play, but compared to last year and how
they are leaps and bounds compared to last year.
Right. It's definitely an upgrade, you know, but there's always room for improvement. I don't want us to be perfect because, you know, we're perfect. That means there's no room for growth.
Yep.
But I'm liking what I see, and they give us reason for optimism. And go Big Blue. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Trent. All right, you got it. Appreciate the phone call. Dre touched on the linebackers and the safeties that you built upon, Carla. And one thing I wanted to bring up, it seemed as if, and we alluded to this earlier, Prescott's goal at least was, if I can use Jason Witten and Cole Beasley in the middle of the field, I'll keep my third downs manageable as opposed to taking my chances vertically down the field.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, was that a product of the coverage by the corners outside preventing guys like Terrence Williams or Dez Bryant, or that was more just the quarterback physically targeting those guys in the middle of the field?
Well, I think they had a plan to keep him in kind of game management mode. They were going to make sure he had targets intermediate. I think what kind of foiled their overall plan was the fact that the Giants were able to play the run so well. Because I can assure you the plan was to run the ball, dink and dunk over the middle, play action pass over the top.
To open
they
things
never,
up.
Yeah, they never got that opportunity. The Giants were going to make sure that Dez Bryant was not going to be available on a lot of plays. But if they had forced the Giants to do some things differently and bring another guy in the box to try to stop the run, I think they would have had some other options available to them. But I think overall, Prescott did exactly what they coached him to do, is find the intermediate guys, staying manageable down in distance, and if the opportunity presents itself, go over the top, and they just never had the opportunity.
Let's head back to the phone calls. We've got Mark in New York. Mark, what's happening?
Yeah, so how you guys doing this?
Doing well, Mark. What do you have for us?
All right. First of all, I'd like to thank Carl Banks for his services. I think the Giants linebacker corps was the best of NFL history, if not at least Giants history, with him, Carson, and LT. That was just awesome to watch all those years.
Thank you.
All right. And I'd like to give Jerry Reese props for putting a defensive team together all in one year. Because I know that's the quantum leap from last to what I saw yesterday, especially with them being in the red zone so many times, only pulling out field goals. That's not something I was used to, especially in the last 3 years. That was never really us. So to see us bend but don't break, I was, that kind of resonated with me kind of good. And I guess my only gripe or takeaway from the game that I could point at and say we need to get better at is the down and distance. I was wondering if we should pass a little bit more on first down. It seemed like they was hungry against our running game on first down. But once we realized that, we don't want to be in second and 10 or, third and 7, once we started passing on first down and making it, second and 6, Dallas didn't know what to do. Like they were not built for the whole playbook is open against them. The reason why we punted so much is because we were trying to establish the run game, and it would just push us back, and that was almost like getting a 5-yard penalty or something like that, and we never really recuperated, and we just have to bunt the ball back. So I just wanted to get, you guys' take on, how they switched it up. It's not like we was one-dimensional, stuck out there trying to do something, but I was really, somebody actually paid attention to that, so I guess that's what I'm really saying. Somebody paid attention to it and said, hey, you know what? We can't keep doing this. This is like insanity, doing the same thing over and over. Let's try a pass right here. Oh, look, we're 2nd and 6. Okay, let's try this now. Oh, look, the run game came up. Hey, that was, to me, that resonated big time to me. What do you guys think about that?
Well, there is definitely a train of thought throughout the head coaches in the league. You either run to set up the pass or pass to set up the run. And I think the Giants try their conventional way, run the football, and when it doesn't get the results that they need it, then they go pass to set up the run, but they do it out of different personnel groupings so that they could still have a tight end on the field. They could either have a fullback or another tight end that can stay in to block. So they can go 3 wide receivers, keep Vereen in, who's a pass catcher as well. So you're absolutely right. They're able to have some run-pass options out of pass formations. And, again, some teams will play you hard against the run, so you pass to set up your run.
And I'm sure the Cowboys coming in at least said to themselves, we're more concerned about Eli spreading the
wealth absolutely.
Than perhaps the Giants running
absolutely.
Game. So things change as the game flows.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to throw out to Mark's point, Carl, when you look at the third down efficiency in yesterday's game, the Giants finished 5 of 10, 50%. Mm-hmm. But I think what's more important to look at it, they had 7 downs for 5 yards or less on mm-hmm. third down, which is great, and only 3 for 7 yards or more.
Right.
So for the most part, a lot of them were manageable.
Yeah, they had manageables. And did they have any double digits?
They did. They had, I think, 2. Based on what
post-penalty
I computed.
Or something, right?
Yeah, I believe it was on the drive where they had the holding penalties,
correct.
Remember, from Pugh and
correct.
Jerry.
Yep.
That backed them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they managed their game and their down and distance relatively well. And I'll tell you the other thing that was impressive also, Lance, is just, for a rookie head coach and new coaching staff, the organization of the game, the way they had the – you didn't see a lot of guys running around like – chickens with their am I in, am I out. They knew their personnel groupings. They had everything. The organization of the game and that execution aspect of it was really good.
Appreciate the phone call, Mark. Thanks so much for chiming in. I'll add to that, Carl, also just four penalties.
Yeah.
You know, that says a lot about the organization, rookie head coach, new staff. Mm-hmm. You know, the mental mistakes.
Yes.
Did it come back to bite them other than what we just talked about on that drive where you had the two offensive penalties against the line? Other than that, clean football for the most part. And that's a big positive.
Not a lot of – I think they have only one unforced error, a procedural penalty. So I thought it was really good. That is a sign of – players really being attentive to the details and the coaching that they're receiving.
The false start against Larry Donnell. And
yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
So I think that does say a lot about the narrative and how the performance went about. Let's go to Yvonne in West Palm Beach. Yvonne, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for making the call. Appreciate it. So what do you got for us?
First, before I even start, I just want to thank, you know, you guys, everybody who you have on Big Blue Kickoff, just for giving us a voice. I think most of us would go crazy going to, like, bars and stuff with Cowboys fans if we didn't have you guys. So you guys are kind of like therapy for us. So I want
absolutely.
You guys to understand that.
We're getting our degrees in psychology. Don't you worry.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, no, there's a few things I want to touch on. If I take too long, just get me off.
All right, you spoke enough, Yvonne. Goodbye. I'm just messing.
One of the first things I think that people didn't realize is that we actually outgained them on the ground. And it took us a while to do it, but we actually outgained them and – we were able to actually get about 100 rushing yards in the game. That was big for us. That was huge for us. Even though we kept running the same play and they weren't able to adjust to it, I think that the offensive line, they played just good enough for us to get something done. I think that the defense should have had at least one sack. We didn't have any sacks. But that just goes to how good the offensive line on the Dallas Cowboys is, obviously.
Well, I think that's an important point, Carl.
Well,
you have to
give
credit to the opposition a little.
You do. They got to him a few times. I'll tell you, Damian Harrison had an opportunity for a sack and just pushed the quarterback, and Dak kept playing. It was on a penalty.
I remember
that. Penalty flag went down, and he just kind of pushed the quarterback, and he had an opportunity for a sack. But, yeah, I think that part of it will pick up, and I also think especially the way the Giants' offense plays, that they'll have more opportunities to put teams in a catch-up position, which will allow them to do more in terms of creativity, blitzing, and coverage-wise to try to create turnovers.
Well, and it also goes back to – and real quickly, Yvonne, we'll let you continue the time of possession. Not
right.
every team you go up against, Carl, is going to be able to have such a big disparity
right.
in holding the ball.
Correct.
So, therefore, the offense is going to have more opportunities. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Exactly. You said exactly what I was about to say. I mean, they had the ball. Our defense was on the floor in the game for so long, and I feel like this was probably one of our worst games that we're going to see from our defense. And it wasn't a bad defensive game, so that just goes to show you, I think this defense is going to be vicious. You know, the last caller, they explained how the linebackers were doing really good, and, I mean, our safeties, they look bad. Landon Collins woke up Ezekiel a few times where he was like, "All right, this is the NFL. Welcome to the NFL."
he sure did.
So I thought that was real big for him. And as a, you know, a second year, I had called in at the beginning of the year wondering where our leadership was going to come from. And you kind of see it coming from different places.
Sure.
Another thing I want to touch on is that, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, we only won by 1 point, this and that. The fact is that in football, there's a little bit of luck at times. Everybody has a little bit of luck. Nobody just makes it all the way just from dominance. Sometimes you have to get that good roll. And I think that, you know, basically the fact that we were able to continuously, like Dak did not throw over. He couldn't throw over us. And last year we were getting chomp played for, I mean, I don't know how many plays we got over the top that we were just so upset about it. Another thing is that Eli looked really, really good yesterday, even with the offensive line not giving him – like, they gave him some good time. I think Eli's going to have an MVP-type season, judging from yesterday. And those three receivers look scary together. And this is just them without, you know, hitting their high stride. Shepard did his thing. That was a huge pass that he catch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely excited for what we're about to be able to do this year. Larry Donnell, yeah, he gave us that touchdown. But, Lord, can the guy learn how to block?
Okay.
Can somebody give this guy a blocking lessons, please? Because this is just terrible.
Well, there ain't a lot of good blockers in the NFL at that position. They're either receivers or blockers, but they're not both. You can't. And I know that's a point of emphasis in the building with these tight ends, to be effective blockers. They don't have to be great killer blockers, but be able to execute so that they can get some things executed in the run game.
And that's something that Ben McAdoo has been saying to the media constantly, and we appreciate the phone call, Von. Thanks so much for chiming in. Two things that I wanted to piggyback off of what he said. Number one, when you look at Eli Manning's numbers, Carl, from yesterday, three touchdowns, one interception, but the fact that he only threw for 207 yards, and, you know, when you throw out the term MVP, you're thinking 400.
Right.
That was an efficient 200 yards, though.
Oh, you talk about a great use of time. I mean, he didn't have a lot, but when he got out there, they were efficient, like you said. And that's what you want from your quarterback. You look at the performance and what they were up against in terms of the clock. They kept themselves in the game. They executed well, and sure, if they had more time, I'm sure they had more points. But the defense was on the field a lot.
The other thing that the caller had alluded to, he talked about leadership and how that may carry over to the field. And I thought it was interesting, Carl. Jonathan Casillas, who was just named the defensive captain for the first time in his career, he winds up leading the team in tackles with 11. And then one of probably the biggest plays he made in the game, if you remember, the first drive when the Cowboys look like they're going to punch it in, the open field tackle on Ezekiel Elliott to prevent them from perhaps knocking on the door of the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, look, leadership is not always the vocal guys. You lead by example, and leaders emerge on a week-to-week basis, too. I mean, guy who's playing well, they inspire their teammates to play better as well. So that leadership is ever-evolving. You know, you have your captains, but leadership on a weekly basis always emerges.
And you brought up an interesting point about it's not always the vocal guy, but if he's on the field and he gets 11 tackles, other players see that.
Oh, absolutely.
They take notice of
that. You think what Landon Collins did, and he had an unfavorable matchup against Dez Bryant, and he fought all the way down to the ground to get that ball out. You think that wasn't inspiring to the rest of his teammates? Absolutely it was.
Feeds off of that. Carl Banks, Lance Meadow with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Monday's edition here on Giants.com, recapping the Giants' 20-19 victory over the Cowboys. Lines are opening up here at 201-939-4513. We want to hear from you. Stas is in Washington as we continue to move along here. Stas, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, it is so good to start an opening week with a W. I don't care if it's a 1 point. I don't care if it's 100 points. Win's a win, and I'm going to take it. Secondly, man, I can't believe Carl Banks is on the phone right now. I grew up watching you guys, man. ULT, Carson, man, you guys are just, like, the best. So, and I love your analysis on the weeks during the season when you break down the other team's defense. I love that. It's always something that I make sure I go to see. So, Eisman, I'm a huge fan. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
No problem, man. And Victor Crew, I'm going to tell you this. I was in a room full of Cowboys fans yesterday, okay? And not one of them stood in their seat when they saw Victor Crew's catch. I mean, that's how much respect this guy got. When he scored a touchdown, everyone was happy in the room for him that he was back and he got to Salsa again. So, you know, God bless that man. Great to see all the hard work. I hope he stays healthy. Things that I saw yesterday that really made me happy is, do you remember how anybody could run on us? Like, I felt like if you put me on an offense last year and you handed me the ball, that I was going to have a good game against the Giants last year. And I mean, I'm in shape and all, but I'm not going to be able to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It felt so good that the hype, everyone is talking, oh, Zeke Elliott, and, oh, he stood up Cam Chancellor two times, which he gets to the Giants. And the guy went, he averaged, I think it was, I did the math, it was like 2.7 yards per carry is what he averaged.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's not good. That's not a starting running back. And, man, you said it earlier, man, Alfred Morris, that guy is like, he did it behind bad O-lines. He's going to definitely – I don't understand why they didn't start Alfred Morris from the get-go and let this rookie, you know, kind of season up a little bit, because you saw, like, there was a lot of impatience for him too. Like, he was hitting holes that weren't there yet, and that's why the Giants were clogging him up. He didn't show patience back there. But, hey, I'll take his lack of IQ in that standpoint, and I'll take the win. Lastly – I was questioning, do you think, you kind of touched on it earlier, because I felt like we were still a little susceptible to passes over the middle. Do you think that was by design? Do you think we were just shading people up? We were just saying, hey, we're going to make Dak Prescott Aaron every single pass he gets and go through the whole field as opposed to giving them big chunks? Do you think that was by design? And I'll take your answer off the air, man.
All right, Stotts. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, when you have a wide receiver that can take the top off of your defense, you're going to concede the intermediate passes and just make tackles. And obviously they kept drives going, but you don't want Dez Bryant to take the top off your defense, and he's the guy that can do that. So they stopped a run. They conceded. I don't know if they wanted to concede as much across the middle, but that's what was available to Dak Prescott, and he took advantage of it. But I think by design, they did not want the ball over the top of their defense, and they did everything they could because they know if a guy who can rip a game wide open, it would be Dez Bryant.
Plus, it's amazing. Prescott threw the ball 45 times, Carl.
Yeah.
45 times out of a rookie, you figure probably he's going to have some hiccups, some turnovers,
sure.
And the fact that they didn't have one mishap, although there were a few deflected balls,
there were some deflected
opportunities
balls,
for the Giants.
Sure, but here's the thing. I'll say it again. The kid is very poised and very smart in terms of taking the coaching and really applying it because his decision-making was very, very good. He did not put the ball in harm's way once. He was not even tempted to go off script. And that's a sign that you've got a guy who's coachable. And he's going to do a good job for the Dallas Cowboys. But if Tony Romo were out there and Dez Bryant were covered, they would have blind faith. He'd throw it up there and
he
say, let's
taken
go
his
get
chances.
It. Yeah, let's go get it. But they didn't want this kid to do that.
They wanted to be methodical, be disciplined, and like you said, he carried out that game plan. Let's head back to the lines. We got B-Lo in the Big Easy. B-Lo, what's happening?
What's going on, man? What's up, Carl?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Big fan, big fan.
Appreciate
everything you did.
Thank you.
But I wanted to commend Jerry Reese, and I guess I got to be a student for a second, but first, I want to commend him on the offensive line. Anybody that says our offensive line is weak is something that's out of the ordinary. Obviously, we did something that was going with our strengths by running behind Pugh and maybe Jerry. And I also want to commend Newhouse because that holding penalty they gave him, I don't believe that was necessarily a hold. Mm. I want to say they called it on Newhouse or Jerry. It was one of them. Mm. But the holding penalty that they got, it wasn't a holding penalty at all. But I love what I've seen out of the Giants. I love that run stop up the middle. I don't know when Dallas was going to realize they wasn't going to get anything through them guys. But kudos to Victor Cruz, Shepherd. Oh, my God, man. We have so many weapons till it's a shame. You know, I mean, I don't see us losing more than maybe 3 games this year with that offense, even though we was limited. You know, we weren't on the field that much. But other than that, A+, man. Giants roll.
Your optimism is something that I'm sure all Giants fans would love just to see 3 losses on the schedule. With regard to the offensive line, they were a very efficient group yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think they will have to continue to improve, but you make no apologies for doing your job against a team that has their defense somewhat depleted of its best players. That's not the Giants' problem. They came out and they were effective doing what they have to do. Next week is a different challenge.
Yeah.
But
yes,
I think they just have to continue to get better because I told Lance earlier in the show here that what you saw in the preseason in terms of some of the weaknesses amongst individual players was not a placebo. That is an actual fact, and they have to continue to work to improve that. If they don't, when they go against better defensive fronts, they'll be exposed.
And B-Lo, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. And you know, I think you brought up an important point, Carl, about keeping things and putting things in perspective.
Yeah.
It is one game, but the defensive lines that the Giants are going to see every single week, it's going to vary. Just like you brought up early in the show when Bill Belichick told you the Bills front, the Dolphins front, you know, they have unique personnel that maybe the Saints and the Redskins are not necessarily going to bring to the table. But in fairness, the Saints and the Redskins don't have both of their edge rushers, DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory, suspended.
Correct.
So they're going to obviously have different personnel groupings that is going to provide a different look and a different challenge.
And he spoke a little bit about, you know, kudos to Jerry Reese. And I think Jerry did a great job of drafting this year. And when you look back at it the year before, when you look at what Landon Collins is giving you, you look at Nat Burhe now is starting to really come around. So you see the fruits of his labor. Now, with every addition that he made in terms of free agency and the draft, there's still people that say, well, he didn't do enough on the offensive line. Well, again, they see a bigger picture than fans. And I'm not going to tell you that this offensive line doesn't need to improve, but I think as he went into, and I haven't had this conversation with him, but I think as he went into training camp, he kind of felt like a guy like Bobby Hart, who they brought in to get better. Like, all of the young players on this offensive line were drafted not to be the same as they were when they came out of college. You know what I mean? So you don't continue to put, good money over bad money. You say, I think what I drafted in Pugh, in Richburg, in Flowers, in Bobby Hart, I think I've got, and then the guys I put on this roster, I think I have a pretty good chance of these guys getting better than staying the same, because they got rid of guys that were staying the same. You know, a guy like James Brewer, who every time he was up front and, you know, next up in line, he found a way to put himself at the back of the line again. So those type of players are no longer on the roster. So when you're killing the general manager for not doing more, well, maybe he's looking at it big picture-wise, and he's also seeing the relativity of who they're playing on a weekly basis, and it's not murderer's row, you know, and their ability to scheme. But they also, I think each one of these players along that offensive line have to get better. No, let's make no mistake about it. But that's what pro football players do. That's what Landon Collins did from last year to this year. Nat Burhe coming off an injury, you see what he is now, what
when
his contributions
healthy.
Are. Yeah, but you look across the board and you see these young players getting better. Even Larry Donnell got better, you know. So you don't panic as a general manager, and you can't be reactive to every criticism that the fans throw out there. But you do look at it with open eyes, if you will. I think Jerry Reese and Mark Ross, they see some of the deficiencies, and then they have to weigh that against what the competition is and whether the player has upside in terms of can he get better at his job, and they'll continue to tinker. That's what they do. That's why Will Beatty's back, just in case. And I can tell you, if Will Beatty is not on board with what they're doing and how they're doing it now, he will probably not be here, and they'll replace him with someone else. But I think when you draft players, and I think they've learned a lot of lessons. Adrian Robinson never materialized. Like I said, a guy like James Brewer, who, in my opinion, was I haven't talked to them, but probably one of the biggest disappointments to them in drafting and him not developing, because when you started to see the end of Snead, O'Hara,
the old
deal,
regime,
right? This guy was brought in because he's a specimen. Was brought in to be the next guy. And then every single time he was up front and first in line, he found a way to work himself back to the back of the line.
The opportunities.
Yeah, and he just never wanted to take advantage. And I'm sure that's probably one of their bigger disappointments. When you look at the size of this guy and his athleticism, you just knew that he would be a major contributor. So they're not crazy. They miss on a few, but that's not an exact science. But the guys they have now, I think they believe they were drafted to get better, and I think each guy is still out there working hard to get better.
And I think it's also important to note, when you look at this year's draft class, Carl, as well as the free agent class,
sure,
when you see instantaneous contributions in week one, that's a positive sign that what the player brings you in week one can only hopefully get better by the time you get to midseason. And you mentioned, I mean, you brought up the fact that Darian Thompson was doing things yesterday that don't appear in the box score. Mm-hmm. If he could do that in week one and he's already assimilated himself within the team, you can only imagine what he's going to bring to the table in week 8 or week 9.
Exactly, as he continues to see it, you know, because a lot of the stuff is going to be new to him, but he seems to adjust. He understands his fundamentals, his coverage rules, and so when they try to trick you up as a young player with formations and motions and things of that nature, and Eli Apple the same, they trust their fundamentals and they trust the rules of their coverage and not getting sucked into the trickery of the game.
He is Carl Banks. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us here on Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, recapping the Giants' 20-19 victory over the Cowboys. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. We go to Patrick all the way in Tokyo. Patrick, what's happening?
Yo, I got through finally. Thank God. Carl Banks, thank you so much. I'm a big fan of you. Those Super Bowl wins, you're awesome. You're a great linebacker. I'm just happy to be on the phone with you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in, you know, well, good showing from the rookies that we drafted this year in the first game, which is good. You just talked about that. And about the four-minute offense, I thought that was improved. And the defense making key stops in the green zone, I thought that was really well, too. Really happy. Watched the game live here, which is like in the morning here, but I was happy to get a win out of Dallas in the first week. thanks. I just wanted to call and say I'm a big fan and a first-time caller.
Well, Patrick, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. I'm glad you were able to get through all the way from Tokyo.
And, you know, he said he's glad they got the first win. Now, the significance of that is that it's a new head coach. He gets his first win under his belt. He doesn't have to, you know, deal with coaching his team through a loss on the first one. Obviously, he's going to have a few losses during the course of his career if he has a long one.
Yes.
But if he has a long one, that means he's got more wins than losses.
That's
good. But the other thing is, too, for this team to win this one, okay, everyone talks about the win in Dallas, winning on the road in Dallas as being important. But I think closer to home is how they finished the season last year. They finished with, was it four or five straight losses?
Yeah, I'll look it up to be specific. And, but obviously the struggles.
Yeah, I mean, they were a series of losses.
Yeah.
So you don't want to start the season as a continuation of 2015. So that was important. As much as it was important to getting the coach off to a good start, but you're getting yourself, your teammates, and your mental state off to a great start. So when you're ending the season on four or five straight losses, what do you
it
have?
It was five of six. Six of seven, rather.
They lost six out of seven.
Six of seven to end the season.
And three at the end. The last three.
The last three, yeah. And then six of seven overall.
So when you can kind of get into a winning feeling, now you really have a new beginning. And not saying, well, here we go again. Let's try to get our first one so that we can count the next one. They got it. So now they can look forward to the next one.
Well, because you want to be able to set the tone in the division early as opposed to having to play catch-up, which has been a narrative just about every season recently. And you look at the numbers. I mean, you talked about these were the stats coming in. They had met the Cowboys four of the last five seasons to start the year, all losses. They were 0-7 all-time against the Cowboys in week one. Dallas had also won five of the last six meetings overall against the Giants. I mean, you get to realize, hey, Dallas really has our number here. We got to put an end to that narrative.
Yep.
And they finally got over the hurdle.
They did.
That was obviously big mentally, as you alluded to. Let's head back to the phone lines here. We got Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How you doing?
Good.
Well, Big Ed.
Hey, we got the legend, the one and only legend, CB. How you doing, CB?
I'm good, Ed.
Hey, I came up to my second game, and we got a win. So here I get ready to come to my third game and looking for a big win against the Redskins. Biggest thing I wanted to just embellish off of yesterday, the biggest thing you guys can touch on this is team chemistry. They played like a team. The offense stuck together. No one got big-headed. The same thing with the defense. They stuck together. No one got above anything. They stayed in a team chemistry ordinance. Therefore, they came out with a strong win and finished strong. It's like whatever they didn't do last year, just the Bellison, which we were just talking about, Carl, whatever they didn't do last year, they're doing it this year. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. And here we go, Lance. That's a second person I done heard say we losing three games this year. That 13-3 record is more real than it shows. Take it away.
Well, everybody's jumping on your bandwagon, Big Ed, apparently. I appreciate the phone call.
Super Bowl bound.
All right, Big Ed, good hearing from you. You take it easy. The optimism flowing through Giants Nation.
You know, they got the first one, and why not? But there are going to be some adverse situations, and then we'll find out how the coach coaches in those environments. You would hope that that the opposing team don't create it on your home turf. But if there's a team that can create adverse situations for your play callers, it's Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They can put you in some predicaments because they're a fast break offense. And they can put you behind the eight ball a lot and change how you're, you know, they'll get you guessing on defense. So you've got to make sure your players understand what they have to do preparing for this team. And then on offense, if you fall behind, you got to play catch up. And it showed last year when it was whoever had the ball last was going to win the
with
game.
With that Giants-Saints game, yeah.
You don't want to be that.
And in that,
that
game,
guy.
Carl, they jumped out to a 14-0 lead
yes.
in New Orleans. So already you were behind.
Correct.
Just so, like that.
You don't want to be that guy, but, you know, in terms of how you play the Saints, whatever your coverage responsibility is, understand that you've got to be very attention to detail. You can't get sloppy because it's and if you're playing zone defense, Drew Brees can look you out of a zone in a heartbeat. So you better know what your zone rules are and stick to them. Because this guy throws in tight windows. If he can move you just a foot or two, he'll get the ball in there, and they move the chains. I mean, and they get down the field in a hurry.
And they don't hesitate looking for the big plays as
no, they
opposed
do not.
To Dallas. It's going to be a different
Correct.
Philosophy. Yesterday, for example, Drew Brees connected with Brandon Cooks down the left sideline,
sure.
98-yard touchdown,
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So you got to be very cautious of that, well-disciplined, as you just
you
touched
do.
On in terms of your assignments. Let's head back to the lines. We got Scott in D.C. Scott, what's happening?
Hey, howdy.
How we doing, Scott? Yep, we hear you loud and clear.
Great. I just want to mention that Eli Manning is about to become the player with more touchdown passes in the history of the NFL other than six players. Three more and he reaches, 300 lifetime touchdown passes? That moves them into a tie with Elway. And among active players, only Brady and Brees are ahead of them. That's a good career. I think it's going to be a Hall of Fame stat that'll come into play when he's done with his career. And I'm knocking wood that he stays healthy. Secondly, I wanted to mention is I don't mean to throw cold water on the. On the love fest here, but 13-3 ain't going to happen if they stay at 60% failure rate defending the third down. They gave up yesterday 60% of the third down conversions to a rookie quarterback with a rookie running back. That ain't going to work against Drew Brees next week. It ain't going to work 13 times this season. So I see that as one of the biggest areas of improvement that's needed, third down defense. Last year, 46.96% failure rate on third down defense. They got to do better there.
Yeah,
and last thing I'll say is I just feel really good for Victor Cruz. Keeping my fingers crossed that he can keep it up all year. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Scott. Last year, it was well documented. It did struggle defensively on third down. But I think for yesterday's game, Carl, it goes back to what we were talking about. It depends on what the offense is presenting and what you're willing to give up. And every
right.
team, every week, it's going to be different.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, too, Lance, you do have to get off the field. You know, but and it's interesting, and I appreciate the way this our last caller contextualized those numbers. Because oftentimes in this world of pro football focus, they just throw stats out there and tell you can't win because X, Y, and Z, these are numbers, these numbers, and these numbers are why you can't win. Well, here's the thing. When you have a deficit in time of possession, you have a deficit in turnovers, you know, winning the turnover battle, and you don't play well on third down on defense, you're not supposed to win the game, right? Well, here's the big number that they don't mention. And they got away with it. They were good in the red zone. They held field goals instead of touchdowns. So the numbers, and he contextualized it well because they won't be able to go, 13-3 playing like that because teams will find a way if they get down there.
To punch it in. Absolutely.
But you can win football games when you can offset something. because there, when you look at the numbers, if you were purely a pro football focused person, they rated your quarterback horrible. They said that, you know, you lost the battle of turnovers, you lost the battle of third downs, and in real world stats, where the stats don't play the game, you're not supposed to win. But when you can keep them out of the end zone and keep them to threes, right? And you can be very efficient on your offense, and you can overcome a turnover because your defense is not allowing touchdowns, then you win games. You don't want to win that way, but that's football.
Because
that's why they play
each other out.
Right.
Yeah. But if you allow Drew Brees and the Saints to go 10 of 17 on third down, and they're not 1 for 3 in the red zone, you know, 3 for 3, then you're right. There's only so many other things you could turn to cover up those issues.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Let's head back to the phone lines. Andrew is in Stanhope. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? Banksy.
Hey.
You're a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, and one of the unheralded things that my father, who's here, Andrew Sr., said that you were great at neutralizing the tight end and jamming him at the line, and all the years with Jason Witten after you left, burning us, even in 07 when they started out struggling on defense, the Giants, what they did is they took a linebacker out and they put like a hybrid safety, a tall, lanky guy like you but a little thinner than you, and he would cover the tight end. So a lot of unheralded things. You were great against the run, great off the field. So in my opinion, you're a Hall of Famer. And my question is, and I'll put Andrew Sr. on.
Oh, we got the tag team
quarterback
today.
He was so impressive for a rookie, his first start. And at the end of the game, speaking of the tight end, the announcers are saying, oh, they're doing the right thing. Check it down. Play it safe. But I thought, you don't play recklessly, but I thought he played so well. And he's fast. He could run. They should have just let him take over, and they shouldn't have played it so cautious. And if you guys want to comment on that, and my Andrew Sr., he has a question too. I'll put him on first.
All right, let's hear what Andrew Sr. has to say before we get the answers to both of them here.
Good afternoon. Listen, I think the Giants should have gone for it on that last drive and fourth down. First of all, Parcells would have always gone for it, and it gives your offense confidence. Second, Carl Banks. I met him one time. I recognized him one time after he was out of football down in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And he was good enough to stop and talk to us and take pictures with us, and he was with his family, but he took the time to spend about 10 minutes with us talking about the Giants and different football things. I was so happy about that day about that.
Andrew,
thank you.
All right, Andrew. Appreciate it.
So, Andrew, one thing you'll know about Bill Parcells is he coached down and distance situations to a science. And he looks at the clock. He looks at every variable. And I can assure you 100% with a team with no timeouts and near midfield, there was no way he was going to risk running a football on fourth down or going for it on fourth down, where if a team has no timeouts and they're going to get – and somebody was telling him, he would say, how much time will they have after we punt? One thing Bill Parcells may have done is taken a 5-yard penalty and then kick the ball so they can get it inbounds or try to burn off more clock. There's no way he was going for it on fourth down. He's going to say, I take my chances. If we don't get this and they need one first down, this kid is kicking a field goal, versus we're going to pin them back, make them go 45, 50 yards before they can even get in position. I like my chances there.
Yep.
With no timeouts, they got to take everything to the sideline, because if they do two plays in field of play,
clock expires.
Game's over.
Yeah.
So let's eliminate that. Parcells is not that big of a gambler, you know, as much as people think he is. In terms of Dak Prescott and what they did with him, I think if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, there are a few things that you should really, really be happy about. Number one, he executed a game plan. He has great poise. Number two, he's a very coachable kid, because everything they told him to do or they taught him to do this week in preparation, he did it to a T. Now, in terms of them turning him loose, I think in time they will.
Oh, yeah.
It's a matter of trust. But just keep in mind, read option, it's going to put your number one draft choice, I mean your top draft choice.
At risk.
At risk. I'm just telling you right now, it'll be some good plays, but defensive coordinators are all but eliminated the read option out of the NFL. Because when you look at the catastrophic injuries, we're not talking about a bruised hip here or there. You're talking knees, shoulders, RG3. Back. Yeah, it gets eliminated quickly because it looks great. He's a big kid, but he takes big hits. And he's already starting to take some when he gets out of the pocket.
Takes a toll. Yeah. And even near the sideline, they try to get one in.
I mean, because what
bounds.
Happens is if you're a quarterback who's a runner, you're not a runner who's a quarterback. You don't protect yourself like a running back. And these guys, they find out in the NFL that these guys come and they're loaded for bear. When they hit you, they want to hurt you. They don't just want to tackle you.
One thing I wanted to add before we try to squeeze in another caller or two, Carl, is also Ben McAdoo has confidence in Brad Wing. So in those circumstances, he's going to be like, listen, my punter is not going to do anything that comes back to bite us. Now, granted, the ball did bounce into the end zone, but I think overall with his complete resume, he feels I put it in the hands of Brad
Wing.
But it
would be coaching malpractice at that point in the field.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Let's just say nothing happened, right? And they just took the ball over on downs. This kid was, 10 yards away from being in range.
Well, they were at the Dallas 37.
Yeah.
So he gets one 10-yard pass. You're in Giants territory, essentially.
Yeah. So
it's a gift.
No, that's coaching malpractice if you do that. So you have to – if nothing else – and I think the ball started on a dead ball penalty, so I don't think the clock was going to run. But they may have taken a 5-yard penalty just to give themselves – enough room to get
a little bit more leeway so that it could bounce back or whatever it may be and not go into
and
the
at worst I thought maybe they try to draw him off sides. That would be the only thing
and just see if you can get them to that
would be the only thing that
field.
Parcells would have done.
Let's head back to the lines. We got T in Maryland. T, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? How are you guys today? And Carl, I just want to say you're one of my favorite linebackers. I still have the Pro Football Weekly where it says runner from Taylor, then you flip the page, makes you run into Banks. I still have it.
Oh, wow.
1989.
That's nice, man. Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to say I'm keeping it all contextualized, but Lance, you know I told everyone to relax. I told you guys the offensive line was going to be all right. And just to see John Jerry pulling – and setting up blocks for Jennings and Vereen, that just made my day. And I know we're short for time, but we talked about it Saturday, Lance, and you got Carl Banks with you right now.
Yeah.
I said y'all took out quarterbacks from the second game, which was the Chargers game, up until I think the Cowboys game in 86. But confirm that for me, Carl.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
Yeah, we did.
I brought that up on my Sirius show when I spoke
to
you on
Saturday.
No
starting quarterback that finished the game on us. There was a run of them. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, look, you guys have a good one. Go Big Blue. Nice talking to you, Carl. Lance, I'll talk to you sometime in the week. You guys have a good one.
You got it, T. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
We got one more call, but this offensive line, it's a week-to-week proposition. I mean, we're not going to crown them the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, and they were very effective against the team that they were playing. They got another challenge this week. Let's see what happens.
Well, Carl, I couldn't have said it better myself with what you just alluded to, and it reminds me of it's a week-to-week league, and you know this. How many times do we crown a team after a great performance?
Sure.
The following week they come back, and all of a sudden there's some ugly things there that we weren't anticipating.
And
you
got to
keep it in perspective.
Yeah, and when you put something on tape, the other team game plans for that too. So
you take it away.
You have to always evolve.
Bruce is in Virginia. Bruce, what's happening?
Hey, I got an observation, and I'd also like to ask a question on number 58. First of all, I think there's been a lot of whining after the game about how that game ended and going out of bounds and all that. Well, what I observed is that he ended up on, like, the Giants 38. DRC was between him and the sidelines. And had he gone out early, he would have had to go out by the 45, 46, 47 in order to be sure of getting out before DRC stopped him. That's looking at like a 62, 63, 64-yard field goal, 10 yards beyond anything he'd accomplished. And no matter whether he got out or not, it wasn't looking like they were going to win. That's my observation.
Well, I think it really just came down to, you know, the Cowboys wanting an opportunity at least to give their strong kicker. That's
He made a bad choice by staying in bounds, but once he decided that he was going to try to get extra yardage, he didn't have a choice but to go inside of the yard markers because DRC played his position and forced him back inside. Now, he could have caught the ball and stepped out of bounds immediately. That would have given him, what, another 5 yards? Like you said, but that puts you in the 62 to 64 range. But if DRC took another angle, this kid probably gets another 5-6 yards and steps out of bounds.
Okay. My question is regarding the defense. We had a previous caller talking about third down defense, and I got a different perspective on it. I don't see it as a third down issue. I see it as we have a strong defensive line. In fact, we shut down the best offensive line from running all day long, held their best running back to 51 yards on 20 carries. And we have a good secondary now with two strong corners, good safeties. You know, what are you going to pick on? I'm going to pick on the OLBs because those guys aren't covering well. And I'm thinking if I'm Spagnuolo, I'm looking at a lot of nickel and dime situations until we can improve the outside linebacker core. And I got just the right outside linebacker here to talk about it.
Huh. Well, I think part of what you're saying is correct, but I think they are competent enough to play better pass coverage. And it is, believe it or not, it is a third down situation. It is a third down problem when you can't get off the field. So their inefficiencies, whether it's at linebacker, defensive back, or defensive line, they've got to figure out how to get off the field earlier. But to their credit, they didn't give up 7 points in those situations. They only gave up 3. Linebacker play, Devon Kennard plays on the line of scrimmage as an outside linebacker. I thought he had a quiet game, but that was good. That means they weren't running outside of him. They weren't getting big plays on the outside. Safety play was good, but they conceded a few things in the intermediate passing game, and they didn't take advantage of some opportunities to get off the field. And that's where it was. They could have changed the tenor of how Dallas operated. They brought Dominic Rogers-Cromartie twice on blitzes.
Out of the slot.
Right. One time he flat out missed because he took a bad angle. The other time he went airborne and Prescott faked him out. So if they convert those, that even changes how the third down outcome was
because
of the game.
The yardage and so forth.
Yeah.
The little things like that.
If you're Kirk Cousins looking at the game film, aren't you thinking, look, I want to throw 5 to 7 yards to my tight ends on first down?
Let me tell you something. Their tight end will be more than 5 to 7 yards.
Jordan Reed.
Reed's a 15 to 20-yard guy, believe me. He may catch it at 5, and he'll be down the field in a hurry. So,
well, but that's my point.
But I don't think the Giants are going to game plan that. I think the Giants understand that they have Deshaun Jackson who can take the top off of defense and a tight end who can get you big vertical yardage. They're going to have a different game plan. They're not going to allow Kirk Cousins to do that.
And Bruce, listen, we got to let you go. We're up against the clock, but appreciate the phone call. We'll be very interested to see how the Giants build off of this performance on Sunday with a 2019 victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Appreciate all the calls. We will get to some of your tweets while we're off the air. Carl, it's been an absolute blast. I look forward to it every Monday.
Well, we'll see if it's every Monday, but I had a good
but
time.
But at least an appearance here and there.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. For Carl Banks, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.